or shop online at GossettMotorcars.net.
If you want it, we got it at Gossett Motor Cars.
CF500X, NP98268, MSRP30,950, Renegade, NPN95921, MSRP32130, Charger number NH261941, MSRP35630, Cherokee, PA794494, MSRP46765. Includes all rebates and incentives, excludes tax and license with approved credit. See dealer for complete details. Offer valid through 3/31/23. Dealer stock only.
Make today more interesting with Bet.ly's online sports betting action. You can bet on pro and college games with Bet.ly, the only online sports book in Arkansas and Tennessee. And right now, every new customer can cash in on a $250 risk-free first bet. Download the Bet.ly Sportsbook app now in the Apple and Google Play Store or visit Bet.ly.com. With Bet.ly, every game matters.
Must be 21 or older and located in Arkansas or Tennessee to bet. Play responsibly. For help quitting, call 800-522-4700.
Tax refund shock is everywhere. But what is it?
My tax refund shrank.
Mine too. The culprit? Pandemic-related stimulus payments and tax credits expiring. In this reporter's opinion, you need a tax expert.
Hey guys, Jackson Hewitt guarantees your biggest refund.
And tax prep is 50% off? Going there now.
50% off is a limited-time offer for new clients filing at participating locations. Max value $200. Visit jacksonhewitt.com/50 for terms.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios, with Jeff Calkins on today's show, presented by Red River Toyota in Wynn, Arkansas, online at redrivertoyota.com. We're back with the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
I needed the shelter of someone's arm. There you were.
Jeff Calkins is columnist at Daily Memphis and also host of the Jeff Calkins Show 9 to 11. On these airwaves, 92.9 FM, ESPN. We'll also be carrying the return of Ja tonight. 7 p.m. will be tip-off. We'll pass you off at 6:30 to Jessica Benson for pregame, for Grizzlies pregame, I should say. But Jeff joins now on Twitter at Jeff_Calkins. Jeff, how's it going?
Good. Sitting in the parking lot here outside FedEx Forum. Going to go in here as soon as I finish chatting with you to cover this. Yeah, this... I don't know if it's a momentous night, but it's
pretty close
night. and a really positive night.
Expectations for Ja in game one. He talked about being uncomfortable. You wrote about it. What do you expect to see tonight? I mean, ultimately they are playing the Rockets and the Rockets are miserable defensively. I mean, expectations, do you set them relatively high, even regardless of the 8-game suspension?
I mean, I don't think he's going to go for 30 because I don't think they need him to go for 30. What's unclear, even if he's going to start. And so I suspect he'll look like a wildly explosive point guard with incredible vision
he'll look like John Morant.
He's going to look like John Morant. Now, will he be as crisp as his best shooting performance or – probably not, whatever. So will he throw one down on someone? He might well, I do think one of the interesting things in all of this is even before the incident in Colorado, when all these other reports had started to surface, particularly the one about the Pacers, mm-hmm. what you saw from Ja is, listen, he had some great moments. He had the one crazy quarter but he honestly felt embattled a little bit. He was like, to watch Ja play basketball and to watch him interact with his teammates and honestly to watch him be at press conferences has been, since the moment he got here, has been an expression of joy, right? Like it is a joyous thing. And leading up to this incident, less so on the court, but certainly off the court, it looked a little bit like some of that had been dampened. And so, and I don't expect that to come back immediately. I hope that some of that returns. Like right now, I think he's probably feeling bruised and embarrassed and all of these things. And so, I don't know that we'll be back to that jaw. Immediately, but I hope over time, because it really is like he is one of the reasons that Nike gave him the shoe deal. It's not just that he scores a lot of points. Lots of players score a lot of points. It's that he is a blast.
Yes.
He's a total delight, not just in fact because of the way he plays basketball, but just the way he looks when he plays basketball. And I do hope that, if not tonight, that over time that we get back to that job.
Yeah, I do too. I really do think getting back to the court is somewhat of a distraction from all of the nonsense and all of the extracurriculars, the embarrassment he's been through. You mentioned you don't think he'll start, or maybe you don't know if he's going to start.
I didn't mention that.
Is that? I mean, do we really think that's
all? Taylor Jenkins yesterday said he didn't know if he was going to start. He said he might come off the bench for two games. Yeah. I was surprised when he said it, and I guess I expect him to start, but I haven't gotten an update here. But yesterday at practice, asked specifically about it, Taylor said, "Yeah, you know, we might actually bring him off the bench for the first two games."
I mean, we've seen him do that with Jaren, right, in long extended absences, but that's usually off injury.
I don't think it really particularly matters. Honestly, I don't think it makes any difference. If he starts, he would start for – if he doesn't start, if he happened to come off the bench, he would come off the bench for two games. And so it doesn't really matter. Who cares? You know, I guess it matters. Does
the
moment
weird, though,
of introduction
still
come, I guess? Does it matter? The only reason it matters is that will he be introduced, and so you'll have the thunderous ovation then, or will you have the thunderous ovation when he checks into the game? My suspicion is he'll start. But I only say that because – yesterday, Taylor Jenkins specifically said he did not know whether he was going to start him or not.
And I guess there's a question about do they want to downplay it with his return? I wouldn't imagine if you're the Grizzlies, you want to downplay it in any way, shape, or form. Like, I imagine the amount of the standing O, the amount of applause he'll get from being in the starting lineup is something you sort of want if you're the Grizzlies, I'd imagine.
I think you want Ja to feel the love. I saw Desmond Bain said that, you know, the whole team has his back, the whole organization is back, and the way that Desmond Bain phrased it, he said, and hopefully the whole city of Memphis has his back. And I also think there is something, even in the way that they did the press conference yesterday, they could have, because it was such a big group, they could have had it in the interview room, which is they generally do post-game, they do in the interview room, but they didn't. They did it like they normally do it after a practice, which is just pulled over to the side of the gym, practice gym. And so I think there is a sense from the Grizzlies staff that let's keep things as normal as possible. And so I think that probably went into the decision yesterday to do the press conference like that, and I guess that would speak to having him start as opposed to come off the bench, but whatever. Yeah, it'll be a nice moment tonight. And, you know that it'll be a thunderous ovation. And I'll look forward to, you know, I suppose that I imagine John will talk after the game, and then it'll be about basketball and how do you feel. And, you know, here we are. There's only 10 games left in the season after this, right? So there really is a some urgency to figure out what they have here and over the next 10 games, in addition to staying at the two seed, to reintegrate Ja, to figure out what happens. You know, Jaren's been terrific in his absence. So how does Jaren continue to be that assertive Jaren, offensively productive, explosive Jaren with the return of Ja? Tyus Jones has been great, and he's been better. I mean, of course he's going to come off the bench, but he's been if you look at the numbers, he's been better starting than when he comes off the bench. So how do you, now that he's going to go back to the bench, how do you make sure you get the best Tyus Jones? Like there's things to what now happens with John Conchar and David Roddy. You know, it is somewhat what their fall out of the rotation. So there's stuff to iron out in addition to the big rousing welcome back that he will get.
Have you enjoyed, though, the bench group, though, lately? I mean, what they've been able to do, you know, without Ja on the floor, Tyus Jones, not necessarily the main facilitator, although at times he is. But seeing David Roddy, Luke Kennard, four straight games in double figures, Santi's been great. Like, do you think the bench situation's a little more ironed out than it was a couple of weeks ago, or do you think that's still a question that needs to be answered once Ja actually gets on the floor and Tyus moves back with that group consistently?
Well, we'll see. I mean, to me, the real question, yes. The short answer to the first question is, have I enjoyed it? Very much.
Yes.
I've enjoyed the way the entire team, honestly, has, in Ja's absence, sort of said, you know, we can play basketball too, and has rallied around the occasion and the moment and risen to it, and that's been fun to watch. And so I've enjoyed that a bit. I found it reassuring as someone who wants the Grizzlies to do well. I guess the ultimate test is, you know, bench players don't typically play as well on the road as at home. And so that will be an interesting test. And then the real test will be, of course, what will these players be like in the playoffs? Like we had a sense of what the departed, honestly, one of D'Anthony Melton's issues was he didn't play particularly well in the playoffs. But what will Santi Aldama, who has never, you know, been a regular role play, a regular member of the rotation in the playoffs, what will he be like in the playoffs? If David Roddy gets minutes, what will he be like in the playoffs? Luke Kennard has played in the playoffs before. It was interesting. Today he was talking about this, and he said, every team I've been on, they've wanted me to shoot more and be more aggressive. But this team, more than any other, has really been on me to do that. So what sort of player will Luke Kennard be for the Grizzlies in the playoffs? The test to me of this bench group obviously will be, what are they like when they're being counted on to help you beat the Timberwolves or the Clippers or the Warriors or the Mavs or whoever it's going to be.
Now the expectation game is back. What did we talk? Was it 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago? I asked you about expectations without John in the lineup and if they're completely faltered and gone. But at this point, what's a disappointment? What's a disappointment with Ja back on the floor? I mean, what would be bad to see as far as playoffs are concerned, getting knocked out?
It has been such a bizarre year. The whole thing has been a bizarre year. Like a lot of it has been. But so, I mean, I think you're back to the point where. Sorry, I was listening to the Low Post today, the podcast, the Low Post today, and the view there was, hey, without Steven Adams and Brandon Clark, what the Grizzlies are really good at is gone. And so, sure, this is what they were saying. Maybe they'll still be able to win a series, but come on. The offensive rebounding, attacking the rim Grizzlies depended on those two players. And so sure, they might still be able to win a playoff round, but any higher expectations they almost were dismissive of. To me, if they went around in the playoffs, I'll be happy with the season. I won't be happy with the season because I wouldn't have wanted Brandon Clark to blow out his Achilles, and I wouldn't have wanted Ja Morant to have this incident. On the other hand, I'll be very happy with the step that Jaren Jackson has taken, and I'll be very happy with the step that Desmond Bane has taken. So there will be good and bad to pluck out of this season, it seems to me, you know, if that's the way it goes. But fundamentally, they're going to have home court advantage in the first round. And so it will be disappointing if they lose in the first round. Yeah. It just will be. But if they can get past the first round and then, you know, and then play a competitive series in the next round, whether it's against, you know, who's it going to be against? Is it going to be Sacramento or is it going to be against, you know, Phoenix? We have no idea.
Right.
So I think losing to Phoenix and Kevin Durant, let's just say hypothesize, would be more psychologically acceptable people to losing to Sacramento. Although Sacramento,
it's a good team.
They've been healthy. They're good. They're offensively are just a machine. And I don't honestly think it would be a disgrace to lose in a 6 or 7 game series to Sacramento. I'm not going to urge people to tear up their Grizzly season tickets if in the second round they lose to. I think if you can come out of this sort of mess of a season and win a round in the playoffs, I think that's perfectly entertaining. Now, again, I don't rule out the idea that they might do more, and it would be helpful if we knew if Steven Adams was coming back, which we won't know until the very end of the season.
Yeah. I also, with the Kings, we thought that the Kings were going to catch the Grizzlies. I have, looking at the remaining schedule, both teams have 10 games left. The Grizzlies, it looked like for a second they were going to have to deal with a full-strength Clippers team, but now Paul George is out.
Right.
It feels like that 2 seed after all this nonsense. Like, that's the most wild thing of this whole thing. And you mentioned it yesterday. Even after all the nonsense, they're either going to have the 2 or 3 seed. It feels like that 2 seed is right there, perfect, and they'd have to absolutely implode to lose
it
at this moment.
It feels like it's there for the taking, and there's no question. The fact that you get 2 Clippers games now, and you're not going to have Paul George in either of them, it's just sort of what we've seen. We just had two, you know, Mavs games without Luka in either of them. Now, mind you, Ja wasn't in either of them, and
yes.
and Steven Adams wasn't either of them, and Brandon Clark wasn't in either of them. But absolutely, the Grizzlies, if the Grizzlies can get through this and end up with the two seed, they have certainly survived some bumps in the road in this season.
Talking with Jeff Calkins, columnist at Daily Memphian, also from the Jeff Calkins Show. Now, little Tiger football. You want to talk a little Tiger football? We're two practices
sure.
in. Well, I guess what I want to start with this. What is, in the new AAC, what is acceptable versus unacceptable from a win total perspective? Like, is it eight wins or bust and we have to talk about hot seat, have all those discussions, or do you think it's a little less sort of cut and dry?
Oh, what I think is this. I think that Ryan has not completely won over the fan base, right?
Yeah.
I think that's fair to say,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And I think it's important for the momentum of the program, for Ryan's own future, for the ticket sales, for everything. I think it's important for the Memphis Tiger football team to have a dominant year this year in the conference, not a scrape by year, not a muddle along, hey, we were close in a lot of games year, but a dominant year in conference. And so, yes, I think if they win fewer than eight games, I mean, are we going to have the hot key conversation? I think fans are already having hot
of course, of course.
Right?
I agree with that.
So but I don't, administration isn't having that, and that's a big difference there.
Yes.
But yes, I think if he wins seven games, it's just going to be, it'll be easy to just say, I don't, you know, it'll be like a muddling along. Fine. Wake me up when they're good again. So, yes, I think they need to win eight or nine games.
Yeah,
and I think they will. Honestly.
Yeah, I was going to say, in considering the conference in general, it feels like that's, I really do think that's a minimum expectation considering what's coming into the conference.
Minimum expectation.
Very minimum.
Yeah. And
honestly, like, even, and here's my thing, even at eight wins, like,
no.
all of the
yeah.
people that have jumped off and are incensed by what has happened with Ryan, I still think eight wins is not necessarily going to bring anybody back.
Nope. That's why I said they have to have a dominant, oh, we were wrong to doubt you kind of season. That's in terms of the health of the program, of course, everyone wants one of those seasons, you know, so it's easy to say, but that's the kind of season they need. It seems to me, to restore some momentum to that program. And, you know, I have no idea because of the, you know, I've been off covering the NCAA tournament and now the Grizzlies, I have not yet been able to make it out to any of the media availabilities or anything. And so I know that they've been having them. Frank Bonner from the Daily Memphian has been covering it, but it's an interesting, you know, it obviously, wholesale, not wholesale, they got the quarterback back, but particularly when you look at skill position players, you know, there's been a lot of changes, and it'll be, and I think particularly when the casual fan looks at the team, what they notice is, how come they're not putting up 49 points a game anymore?
Yep.
You know,
yep.
How come we don't have running backs screaming down the field with 82 yards a pop, you know, like, and so some of the speed that they have brought in, I haven't set eyes on it. I don't know what it's going to look like.
Yep.
And I don't know if you have any early reports. But to me, in addition to being dominant, I do think they need to be more explosive.
Yeah, and I think the overwhelming majority would say that. But I think like when we're talking about changes the last 2 years, that what you need to change, it's run game and continuing to build on that defense, right? Like I think Matt Barnes did a good job in year one, but I feel like those are sort of the two checklist items to actually being overly competitive, if not dominant, in conference. Getting that run game back, being able to rely on that, helping Seth Hennigan out there, and then defense continuing to build.
Yeah. And I would certainly throw in chunk plays.
Yes.
As part of that.
Explosivity, you know, yes.
All types. Like I think what has been particularly frustrating, it's the combination of the ineptitude of the run game and yet the continuing insistence on trying to run. That is what infuriates people.
But ultimately,
I would say, if you can't run, Like, yeah. Go ahead, yeah.
But ultimately, the reason I think the Norvell era and what was able to be done offensively in that era, that was an insistence upon the run game. And obviously they were explosive, and they got the chunk plays, and they had the playmakers.
Right.
But that's what ultimately got you over the hump, and there's still a reliance on that, and that's what I think they need to be successful again.
I'm not saying don't. Yeah, that's right. But there's nothing that frustrates people more to continue to run the ball if you can't run the ball.
Yes,
right?
That's for sure.
That's what it's yes. When Daryl Henderson is ripping off 42 yards, then people are happy with the run game. but you know, when that's the issue. And I don't know. You tell me. Was it offensive line issues? Was it the fact that Daryl Henderson's don't grow on trees? What has been the fundamental challenge with the run game?
It has to do with the offensive line and getting guys up there. Obviously, they've had injuries, but you can't do that because I think you can't blame it on that because you're always going to have offensive line injuries. But I do think if I'm reading through what has happened this offseason, Ryan goes and gets Jeff Myers from Iowa State, a younger, more moldable coach, before you have Jim Bridge, who's been around the block. I think there was – I mean, and I don't know if he'd admit this to the public. I think there was a little bit of – an internal strife there. But at the same time, I do think, based on what I'm hearing from Ryan, is that he's going to try to be more hands-on in that room because that's what he does best. And I think that ultimately is a change that is welcome and I think needed to see. It's something that we need to see.
It is difficult when your specialty is being an offensive line coach and your offensive line sucks. I mean, right? I mean, that is a difficult look. So if it requires him being whatever, it would be like Spurrier being the, you know, a head coach and the offense stinking, you know, or whatever. Pick your offensive or defensive genius. And if Belichick takes over a team and they're giving up, that's a bad look. And if the defensive back stinks or whatever. So I do think if that was the issue, I'm glad Ryan has stepped in and picked someone who fits what he wants. And and the truth of the matter is, it has been so much fun to cover Memphis football as it has been redefining itself.
100%.
It was a blast. And so it is with a sense of sort of wistfulness that you're like, oh, well, this isn't as much fun anymore. So of course everybody wants it back. And the hope is it'll get there.
So it looks like we do have a little bit of breaking news. John Morant will come off the bench tonight. Taylor Jenkins just said that might be the case for a couple of games, too.
That's what he said. Well, that's what he said the other day. He said two games the other day, and I simply was reporting it. You seem shocked.
I just find it bizarre because you're never going to play like that as you get into the later stages of the season and into the playoffs. If you're going to have an acclimation period, I don't know why you wouldn't do it with the guys that he's consistently going to be playing with. But we've seen this with him before.
I don't think it particularly matters. You know, it's going to for two games. Yes. If they came out and said, listen, Tyus has been great. We don't want to mess up this.
That would be ridiculous.
Thing.
Yes.
That would be ridiculous. If they say the way we're bringing Ja back is, you know, given that he'd been away from the team for a couple weeks and everything else, we're going to bring him back. I'm fine with that. And now, by the way, we'll have an interesting moment, though, because it won't be the ovation.
It'll be him checking in.
It'll be him checking in, and that'll be quite a moment.
No, I'll say this. I think it can be strange, but I again, like what you're saying, if they said that they're going to stick with Tyus the rest of the regular season, I think that would be ridiculous. But I think it can be strange at the same time. It can be strange to bring him off the bench in general. You can still put him on a minutes restriction even if he's starting.
Well, he's on a minutes restriction, and I mean, they already talked about that. I don't know. This, to me, in the grand scheme of things, pretty utterly meaningless.
Yes, I get you.
And so he is going to start, whether they want to ease him in, whether they want to whatever else, whichever. So, but it does not surprise me if he's came out of the bench.
All right, well, we'll let you get to it. Sounds like there's things to do.
Man.
Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Jeff. That's columnist at the Daily Memphian and host of the Jeff Calkins Show, Jeff Calkins at Jeff_Calkins on Twitter. So John Morant coming off the bench versus the Rockets these next two games against the Rockets.
Yeah, I mean, you can get away with it tonight, I think.
No, and I think ultimately, yes, if it's for the next two games, it's meaningless. But I, 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 I just can't. It's strange. I still think it's a pretty strange thing to do, star player off the bench.
Well, for tonight specifically, I would think that it's because you want him to get that ovation. You know, because during the pregame, like, or when they introduce the players, like, in they typically do him first, but, like, the music's super loud and everything. I don't know. I feel like that he's going to really, really hear it if he's coming off. You know what I'm saying? Like, it feels a little bit like this might be the Grizzlies trying to get him that love. Because he said he was uncomfortable, you know, and everything.
Here's my thought, what I'm though. Thinking. If you're trying to get him on the floor and used to what's going on with the Grizzlies right this second, and you want to get him back to some form of normality, I feel like starting him would be the way to go. But again, I mean, I'm not gonna lose sleep over it.
Yeah.
He's still gonna play a fair amount of minutes, and he'll still probably put up some decent numbers tonight. But coming off the bench for tonight, it looks like for the other game, for the game on Friday versus the Rockets, Ja Morant will be doing that. But let's go ahead and get to a break. And when we come back, we'll hop into the Blitz. We have a bunch of things to talk about. We'll talk about National Player of the Year finalists in college basketball, National Coach of the Year finalists, and then we have to get to a little bit of college football. We'll talk Memphis, their expectations heading into spring ball, and Jimbo Fisher, who is confusing A&M fans when he was asked the question about who will be calling plays in the upcoming season. We'll be right back on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Bane catches from Jones, into the lane, Akleba running left-hand hook, off the window is good. Desmond Bane never stopped going towards the rim. He gets the bank off the window, and the Grizzlies lead by three.
Tonight, Ja Morant and the Memphis Grizzlies return to FedEx Forum to take on the Houston Rockets. We'll have the pregame at 6:30 after the Gabe Kuhn Show. Tip at 7 o'clock with Eric Hasseltine live on 92.9.
92.9 FM ESPN is Memphis's Grizzlies station.
Attention BetMGM customers. Have a friend who loves sports as much as you do? Here's a chance for both of you to earn a $50 bonus when they sign up through BetMGM's Refer a Friend program. Just sign into your BetMGM account and click on the Refer a Friend program to send your friend a message inviting them to register a new account in the same state that you use BetMGM in. Once your friend signs up and makes a deposit, you'll both receive a $50 bonus. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. You must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Tennessee only. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 30 days. For problem gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. That's 1-800-889-9789.
If you own a small business, you know the value of time. GetRefunds.com does too. That's why they've made it easy, no matter how busy you are, to apply for the Employee Retention Credit or ERC. Go to Refunds.com to get started and in less than 8 minutes, see if your business qualifies for ERC assistance. Your business may be eligible for a payroll tax refund of up to $26,000 per employee kept on payroll during COVID-19. GetRefunds.com has already helped clients claim over $3 billion in payroll tax refunds through the ERC, and they may be able to help your business too. There's no upfront charge either. They don't get paid until your business gets its refund. Many businesses believe they won't qualify based on incomplete or outdated information. So don't let this opportunity pass you by, because this payroll tax refund is only available for a limited time. Go to GetRefunds.com. That's GetRefunds.com.
The winter blues are almost behind us. We can't wait to get out of the house and be more active. It all sounds great, but your achy joints don't agree. Well, it's time to do something about that. Hey, it's Jeff Calkins. Stop with the steroids. Stop with the possible surgery chatter. Now there's a better way to get lasting relief. It's QC Kinetics, the nation's leader in regenerative medicine. This exciting approach uses healing properties from your own body, highly concentrated, and then placed directly in your achy joint. It can restore and repair that damaged tissue and get you moving again without pain. Knee pain, back pain, shoulder pain, hip pain. The patient satisfaction reports are incredible, and there's no downtime. Learn more about this wildly popular all-natural alternative way to get lasting pain relief. No surgery, no drugs. The call is free. The consultation is free. You've got nothing to lose. Timing is perfect, so you can enjoy the best time of the year coming up. Call QC Kinetics now at 901-445-1010. That's 901-445-1010. QC Kinetics, the nation's leader in regenerative medicine.
Hey guys, this is Kenan Thompson. I have a problem with you. Yes, you. None of y'all told me that Auto Trader has millions of new and used cars that I can shop from home. I thought we were friends. I put smiles on your face, but I'm not smiling. No one told me that with Auto Trader, a dealer can deliver cars to my home or that I could shop by price on Auto Trader. No one. Consider this friendship that you just learned we had officially over. Finally, it's easy. Auto Trader.
Wendy's 2 for $6 lets you mix and match some of our best items, like Dave's Single with a 10-piece crispy nugs, medium strawberry lemonade with a spicy chicken sandwich, spicy chicken with a Dave's Single, Dave's Single with a strawberry lemonade, strawberry lemonade, strawberry lemonade, if you're into that. Chicken Sam, crispy nugs, strawberry lemonade, Dave's, nugs, nugs, Sam, Sam. Whew. Pick what you want at a price you want. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's 2 for $6.
For a limited time, price and participation may vary at U.S. Wendy's. On the card only. Single item at regular price.
2023 is in full swing, so savor the flavor at the Wing Guru. 13-piece party wings are only $11.99 this month. Dine in, carry out. Just enjoy your wings this month at the Wing Guru. Get over to any of our 4 Memphis locations today.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Rolling Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. We're just hearing now via the Grizzlies, via Taylor Jenkins, that Ja Morant will be coming off the bench at least for the next couple of games, and he'll be on a minutes restriction. They said they want to keep him in the low 20s. So that makes a whole lot of sense.
I get it. He hadn't played for a while.
Hadn't played a lot of basketball lately. Now, we will hand you off at about 6:30 to Grizzlies pregame with Jessica Benson. You'll be able to catch all of that action here at 92.9 FM ESPN at 7 o'clock. That's when the tip will be against the Rockets. But in the meantime, let's go ahead and hop into the Blitz.
Now, the biggest stories.
Overloading the line.
A bull rush of info. It's Gabe's Blitz on the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
Okay, Naismith, National Player of the Year finalist, Zach Edey, who's this?
Trace Jackson Davis.
Trace Jackson Davis, yeah. Drew Apologies. Timmy, and Jalen Wilson.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I went and looked up the odds for who's going to win this award, and Zach Edey's minus 1,200. And I think it's very well deserved, no question about it. Zach Edey will win this award. He should win this award. Trace Jackson Davis was fantastic in the Big Ten, but Purdue won the Big Ten. Purdue was at the top. And when you look at what Zach Edey had to sort of overcome with that Purdue team, he had 23 points a game, 13 rebounds per game. And as much as we can look at the Fairleigh Dickinson upset and say, okay, they were frauds the whole time, I completely agree with that. They were 29-5 during the regular season, were able to do some things that they wouldn't be able to do without Zach Edey. And I asked this question. And honestly, these other guys are very well deserving. Drew Timmy has been there for 4 years, been fantastic. Jalen Wilson led the Big 12 in scoring, and you know that was the best conference in college basketball this year. But I asked this question about Purdue and Zach Edey. What the hell would they have been without him? Absolutely nothing. You had two guys, I believe Fletcher Lawyer. You had those freshman guards who averaged around 10 points a game. He doubled up everybody on that team in points per game. He ran their entire offense. Matt Painter relied on him so heavily that ultimately Zach Edey's going to win this award, and he should win this award. But at the same time, I can admit, you know, two things can be true at the same time. I can't admit that Purdue team was very fraudulent.
He's got no chance of being drafted. I just don't. He can't. He's not quick enough on his feet.
Undrafted free agent, and he'll get some G League looks.
I mean, that's Taco right. He'll be in the G League for sure, doubt. Yeah.
Like Taco Fall got G League looks. But no, he's not fast enough on his feet, and he can't shoot, and there's some issues there. But I think he'll definitely get some looks. I mean, you're 7'4", and you're that good at finishing around the rim, decent at blocking shots, you're going to get some type of look. But draft, no.
He'll make money playing basketball.
Here's my question. Yep. You don't think even back half of the second round there could be some type of taker? But like his style of ball player, I will fully admit, is not needed in the NBA these days.
Right. Yeah.
That's the issue.
You never see guys like that anymore.
But guys that produce at that level, even when they are the guy that the other team is game planning and watching film on, there's something to be said about that. Mm-hmm. Overcoming all of the opposing team's game plan and still putting up numbers that way. Productive guys get looks. I don't think he'll be any type of draft pick that we're talking about come draft night. No.
Right.
No, that's not going to happen.
And then on to the coaches, the Naismith National Coach of the Year finalist, Matt Painter, Kelvin Sampson, Shaka Smart, Jerome Tang.
You could copy and paste Kelvin Sampson here every single year. Sure. And, like, I would totally be fine with him winning the award. What he's been able to do with three stars this entire time, like, Marcus Sasser wasn't a top 100 recruit. Jamal Shedd was not a top 100 recruit. Both guys were three stars. I think they were top 300 at best, top 350.
Yeah.
And the only five-star I can really think of in recent memory he's had at Houston is Jairus Walker, and he had him this year, and they're still in the tournament. They still have a chance to make a run here. I think that Miami game, though, is going to be relatively tricky for them. So you could copy and paste Kelvin Sampson every year, and if he wins it, I'd be very respectful of that. Shaka Smart's an interesting one. What he did with Marquette in the Big East, getting them back to some power is cool. But at the same time, he's lost 8 of his last 9 games in the NCAA tournament and had another early exit this year. Like, that's going to ring true in my head, and it's going to be tough for me to get over that. Matt Painter, again, fraudulent mm-hmm. Purdue team, but for him to go 29-5 in the regular season
right.
through the tournament, you have to have respect for that. But who I think should win this award, and I don't think it's close. I really don't think it's close. I think Jerome Tang deserves this award.
Okay.
And that's because what Kansas State was predicted to do this year, if you looked at the preseason polls, they were predicted last in the Big 12 because they were that bad. That was the thought process behind what they were going to be. And he absolutely moved past that. He's now in the Sweet 16. He seems to have his team on his side. He's made Malik Nowell and Keontae Johnson into absolute stars at this point in the tournament, especially Malik Nowell. I think Jerome Tang, for expectation and what reality ended up being, he's the guy who ultimately needs to win this thing. I don't know if he ultimately will. But I have an inordinate amount of respect for what Jerome Tang has done, and I think it'll continue into the future.
Oregon lost to Wisconsin in the NIT, and Dana Altman went off.
All right, now here's the quote, and this is wild. Before I get into it, this is wild. Now, he's missed the NCAA tournament 2 straight years, and he is seemingly incensed with what has happened with fan participation and where his team is at, but Here's the full quote. Stick with me. He said, quote, "You see the commitment that Wisconsin makes with the cheerleaders, the band. We make a commitment. Don't get me wrong. But you can just see how important it is to them. It's important to me. We should have more people here. All right. I mean, the guys played hard. 3,300 people. That's not good enough. If it's me, then get rid of me. If you need somebody else to be a good promoter to do something, but 3,300 people is embarrassing. I'm not in a very good mood, you can tell. If it's me, then make the change. Make the change. Somebody will hire me somewhere. I'll go coach junior college ball. I love junior college ball. Those guys are dogs. They want to be in the gym all the time. I love those guys. But 3,300 people for Wisconsin, I'm disappointed. And I appreciate the people who came. The 3,300 people who did come, great. I sure appreciate them. The people who have stuck with us, again, I'm not a promoter. I'm not out in public. I don't have Twitter and all that stuff. My job is to coach," end quote. Now, again, he's missed the tournament. Oregon has missed the tournament for 2 straight years. But he has been to a Final Four, 7 tournament appearances while he's at Oregon. He's been a really good coach throughout his career. This, to me, sounds like someone who has had plenty go on behind the scenes with higher-ups telling him to promote the program more, for people telling him to improve upon what they're doing. And I looked this up from the Oregon Athletic site. Their average attendance at basketball games, and they were a top 25 team at one point.
Mm-hmm.
Their average attendance is 5,937.
Wow, that is
under 6,000.
Yeah,
under 6,000.
I'm really surprised by that for Oregon.
And you know what it reminds me of? You've seen movies. You've seen a lot of people. You know, this happens in movies consistently where somebody has the script they're going to go read, but other things behind the scenes have force them to rip that mm-hmm. script up, throw it away, and go with what their mind is telling them to go with. This is what Dana Altman did. He took that normal post-game script and threw it, trashed it, did whatever he could. This signals to me that there is a lot of discord between him and the higher-ups. And yeah. He says, I'm not a promoter, I'm a basketball coach. He's actively telling you that the messages he's heard behind closed doors are about him promoting the program, and he just wants to coach. And ultimately, he offered up his job. I mean, you heard him. He said, if it's me, get rid of me. He said he'd coach JUCO instead because those guys are dogs. That's someone who is at peace at this point with what they've accomplished and is okay with being elsewhere. Yeah, it could be a bluff. It could be to try to wake up fans and make them show up and show out for every Oregon home game. But when you try to wake up fans, there's two ways they can take it, right? In stride or in offense. And I think in a lot of ways, they're going to take it in offense. They're going to say, you haven't been to the NCAA tournament in 2 years. Your product's been going down. So he knew the risk. He knew what was at stake. And it sounds like a guy who's very willing to be elsewhere. And that's definitely concerning for Oregon and that basketball program.
Jimbo Fisher had a press conference, and he discussed who will be calling the plays. Here's the soundbite.
And what about who makes the play calls? Would that be him or you?
Yeah, I mean, we'll go through that as we go.
Go back to the back.
Plan
the
on
right.
Him making calls. Plan on him calling plays. I have no problem with that at all.
Honestly, right side.
Okay, you hear what he said. He said, I have no problem with that at all. Yeah, bring in Bobby Petrino. He can make the play calls. That's totally fine. I'm going to say, all right now, Jimbo. You brought in a guy who's an offensive mastermind, did a really good job at every place he's been. Obviously, he had the misstep at Arkansas and ultimately got fired, went to Missouri State, was going to UNLV before Jimbo took him away. But you had an awful year offensively in the SEC, and you're supposed to be a quarterback whisperer. You're supposed to be that guy. You're going to have to give us a stronger answer than that about who's going to be calling plays. My thought process was that it's going to be Bobby Petrino and nearly all Bobby Petrino's sort of situation there. And we've seen this in the past where you have really two strong-headed guys, very into it when it comes to their ways. And this already, I'm not going to predict it fully, but this could be a problem. Because Bobby Petrino got hired there with the intentions of being the main game planner, the main play caller. Of course, they're going to have a brain trust there to a certain extent. You think about that. But Bobby Petrino has called plays everywhere he's been. And you fired a man this offseason who I think very highly of. Obviously, he's not a play caller, and he's not a guy who's going to be super, super involved in an offensive game plan. But you fired a man in Daryl Dickey for your failings, Jimbo. He got fired because you failed offensively last year. And Jimbo is such a prideful guy. He's just so prideful about everything he does. I think to a certain extent he needs to get over that. And I saw someone explain it this way, J.D. Pickell of On3.com. He said, imagine, you know, men sometimes asking for directions, it can be a pride thing, right? Mm. You're driving state to state, you're lost, you pull over to try to ask someone for directions, they give you the directions, yep. It's about you trusting them or not. And I think Jimbo's right there, he's deciding if he's going to trust the direction that Bobby Petrino wants to give him, or this thing's going to fail. If you don't know the directions, take directions. And Jimbo's got to get over all this foolish pride very quickly, or it could be to the detriment of that offense going into next year.
Okay, you talked about it a little bit with Jeff, but spring ball has begun for Memphis football. One, what are you looking for? Two, what is the expectation for what they need to accomplish this year?
What am I looking for? I'm looking for more size on the offensive and defensive line. They did a really good job in recruiting and going to the transfer portal, going to the JUCO ranks. Josh Ellison from Oklahoma on the D-line. Derek Hunter out of JUCO, number one JUCO D-tackle. You get Jalen Joyner from FAU. You have a Darius Jones from A&M. The size should be better on the defensive line. On the offensive line, you bring in Marcus Henderson, who was at Arkansas from MUS, Chris Morris, who was at A&M, Xavier Hill, who was from LSU. You have to get better and bigger on both sides of the offensive and defensive line. And those are going to be, you know, once we get to Friday Night Stripes, those are going to be my main, you know, being a trenches guy. Those are going to be what I pay attention to the most. Who has moved up the ladder? Who's learning quickly? What's it going to look like? It'll be a good preview of what we may see going into fall camp. Also, you want to see what this program has been built off of in the past 10 years. Who's going to step up at running back and wide receiver? Who are going to be the playmakers? Damir Blankensee is a guy that came out of Toledo, caught for nearly 700 yards last year. Like, he's got some game.
In the running back room, Katravion Hargrove was a four-star recruit. Blake Watson from Old Dominion ran for 1,000 yards last year. Who steps up? Who steps up? This is where, in the spring, a lot of guys have stepped up in that playmaking role in the past. Tony Pollard, Antonio Gibson, every one of those guys stepped up during the spring, and they showed you at least a little bit of a glimpse of it at Friday Night Stripes. I need to pay attention to that. Now, also, you asked what the expectation is for what they need to accomplish next year. The expectation, I'm right there with Jeff, they need to be dominant in conference. Yeah. I mean, the people you're adding are Charlotte and North Texas and FAU and all these programs that are trying to get on the up and up. You're going to have a lot of new head coaches at UAB. You're going to have Trent Dilfer. At Charlotte, you're going to have Biff Poggi. You have guys that are trying to build up their programs. Theoretically, you're in good standing. Theoretically, you are at least stable. You have to take advantage of that conference. And I think when we talk about a win total, at the very least, 8 wins is the minimum expectation, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's the minimum expectation. And I, again, going back to what I was talking about with Jeff, I don't think 8 wins gets anybody that's off your boat back on your boat, if you will. I don't think 8 wins in itself gets people back on the bandwagon. But I think 9, 10, you start to get up into those numbers, you can really make a run for it. And when you look at this this schedule, it shouldn't be that ridiculous to predict 9, maybe 10 wins. Bethune-Cookman, 1-0. Arkansas State, theoretically, should be, if you think you're the program you are, 2-0. Navy, new coach that really just took over, still was part of Ken Niumatalolo's program, 3-0. You get to Mizzou, I guess, you know, you could chalk that up as a loss, but Mizzou's not an awesome SEC program by any stretch of the imagination. Boise State, we'll see what happens. That's a good team. But if you want to be back at that level, at the top of the group of five, you have to go beat a team like that. Tulane, same thing. UAB, North Texas, USF, Charlotte, SMU, Temple. All these teams are in flux. You have to find a way to get to 8, 9 wins, or people are going to be incensed. That's sort of the truth of the matter. And we'll see what happens. There's a whole spring. They turned over the roster. It's going to be a lot to watch coming out of spring ball and during the duration of spring ball. So we'll keep an eye on it. But let's go ahead and get to a break. When we come back, we'll get to small talk.
92.9 FM ESPN is Memphis's sports station on the free Odyssey app. Download it now on your phone. Smart speakers say play 92.9 ESPN.
What's up, everybody? Nick Costos here with the Sports Betting Minute, brought to you by BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. The big college basketball tournament resuming in a couple days. Let's look at odds to make the Final Four. Alabama, minus 135. Houston, minus 125. Tennessee, plus 115. Creighton, plus 190. Texas, UConn, and UCLA all at 2-1. The best bet by far is actually the favorite here at Alabama, minus 135. More than a 7-point favorite in its next game against San Diego State. Should have no problem getting past either Creighton or Princeton to get to the Final Four. Meanwhile, Houston would have to play Texas. We don't trust Tennessee's coach. The West region is impossible. Alabama, minus 135, by far the best bet of a team to make the Final Four. That's it for this Sports Betting Minute, brought to you by BetMGM. Download the BetMGM app and take your game to the next level with the king of sportsbooks. Must be 21 years or older. Must be in Tennessee. Visit BetMGM.com for full list of terms and conditions. For problem gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line, 800-889-9789.
Mom, Dad, Sis?
Here we go again.
Why are you in a suit?
Picture, if you will, a world with the best network imaginable. I'm talking about the Xfinity 10G network.
Go on.
Mom, remember how your reality shows wouldn't load with all of us online? Now you can binge. And Susie, we'll have fast internet in the basement.
Nice.
If you have any questions, here's my card.
This is just your name on a gum wrapper.
Introducing the 10G network only from Xfinity. The future starts now. Now through April 23rd, new customers can get 200 megabit Xfinity internet during our limited time Xfinity 10G network launch celebration for just $25 a month for 2 years. Plus, there's no annual contract required and you get Wi-Fi equipment included. Go to Xfinity.com/10G, call 1-800-XFINITY or visit a store today. Requires paperless billing and auto pay with stored bank account. Restrictions apply. Taxes and fees extra. After promo, regular rates apply to internet service and devices. Actual speeds vary.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Count on the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts to recommend the best products for your vehicle and budget. Get maximum cooling system performance for 10 years or 300,000 miles with peak long life universal premixed antifreeze and coolant. Now just $6.99 after mail-in rebate. Limits apply. See store for details. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Ray Magliozzi here for eBay Motors. Okay, easy now. You're teaching your kid how to parallel park. Ouch! Turns out he likes to do it by feel. Don't worry, eBay Motors has bumpers, trunk lids, license plate holders, and headlights. They've got lots of headlights. When you need parts, get it right the first time with eBay Guaranteed Fit. When you see the check, you know that part's gonna fit. eBay Motors, let's ride. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Spring is around the corner. That means the sounds of air conditioners cranking up will be in the air soon. Hi, this is Lauren Choate with Choate's Air Conditioning, Heating, and Plumbing. This month only, receive $1,000 off the purchase of a new Carrier AC unit. No gimmicks. Just $1,000 off for the Choate's Early Bird Carrier AC Special. If your AC is in good shape, call us to get your $60 20-point AC tune-up to get your AC cleaned and ready for the warm seasons ahead. Choate's is here for all your cooling, heating, plumbing, air duct cleaning, and commercial needs. Call us today at 347-8086 to take advantage of these Early Bird Specials. Or to schedule online, visit ChoateshVAC.com. So turn to the experts with Choate's. And remember, let our family serve your family.
Well, it's definitely a tough time in the real estate market, which is why you need the best real estate agent for the job. I've got the answer for you. Hey, Memphis, Jeff Calkins here. The best person for the job is Josh Hysaw and his team at Keller Williams Realty. Josh Hysaw is the agent that will get you through this challenging market. Just how did he win me over? Josh has what it takes to guide you through this tumultuous time. Not to mention, he's got things to sweeten the pot, like his instant cash offer for your convenience or getting your home sold at your price, or Josh will pay the difference. Josh also has his no-risk one-day listing agreement. Just let him tell you about it. Give him a call. 901-461-8147. No accident that real estate mogul and Shark Tank star Barbara Corcoran only recommends Josh in the Memphis area. Google Josh Hysaw Real Estate. Read all his five-star reviews, then call him 901-461-8147 or visit joshhysaw.com and get moving.
If you need to sell your home, there's only one thing to do. Call Josh, H-I-S-A-W. Go to joshhysaw.com.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code JOY at checkout. That's harrys.com, code JOY. Enjoy!
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
If you're a whiskey lover on the hunt for a nice sip this weekend when you're watching the games, when you're watching the NBA playoffs, look no further than Old Dominic Tennessee Whiskey, made right here in the heart of downtown Memphis. And we have to add, first whiskey to be distilled, barreled, aged, and bottled in Memphis since Prohibition. It's going to give you sugar and maple notes with a charcoal finish, so it's going to be great for sipping, very subtle flavor. It is fantastic. Go get a bottle today, as it, again, it is available in Memphis, Arkansas, and Mississippi. Look for their new Tennessee whiskey and all their great products at your favorite retailers, or ask for it by name at your favorite locally owned restaurant. But why stop there? Head on downtown and witness firsthand their state-of-the-art distillery, and learn what makes Old Dominic so special.
Whether you're stopping in for a refreshing drink while exploring Memphis, joining them for a tour and tasting, or finishing up a night out in style, Old Dominic has something for everyone's taste in an elevated yet relaxed atmosphere. Perfect for hosting a special event, wedding, wedding reception, whatever it may be. But there's more. Old Dominic is the official spirit of the Memphis Grizzlies. Look for their new Tennessee whiskey and all their great products this playoff season inside FedEx Forum at their two bar locations where they're serving up craft cocktails. Go to olddominic.com to book a tour. Check out all their great products. Old Dominic Distillery. Come say hi. Still plenty to come on the Gabe Kuhn Show. Before we hand you off at 6:30 to Jessica Benson for Grizzlies pregame, we have Alan Bell here in about 6 minutes. But right now, let's get into small talk.
Here on 92.9, we talk ball every weekday from 4 till 7 p.m. Except right now, it's time for Big Man Small Talk on 92.9's Gabe Kuhn Show.
So we've talked about it on this show, and I had to do a little digging. We brought it up yesterday when you're talking about the NFL and all of the news, the drops that have come out for, through free agency and trades. Dov Kleiman is a name we've come to know. 153,800 followers. He's an aggregate of the news. Supposedly works for Bro Bible. He's an independent contractor for Bro Bible, formerly of Outkick. And the New York Post did an interesting story on this because we've never seen a picture of the guy. We don't know, like, who is he? We have no idea right. Who he is. What the New York Post uncovered is, one, they have a picture of the guy. They finally have a picture of the guy, and it's a selfie. He's got some tattoos on his right arm. But this is what they found. They found that he is 30. He's in his 30s, late 20s, early 30s, and he lives in Israel to do all of the aggregates. He's aggregating all of the NFL news from Israel for Bro Bible. I mean, I see, who the hell is this guy? And why? I mean,
fascinating.
I wonder how much he gets paid by Bro Bible to do all that work, because he's spitting out everybody's articles.
Yeah.
And he's been like one of the main aggregators of news that you see all over your
That's
Twitter
right.
timelines.
That's right.
But 153,800 followers. And no one online, until he sent it to the New York Post, had seen a single picture of him, Bennett. Not a single picture. If you go look up,
unreal.
If you go look up his name, Dov Kleiman, D-O-V-K-L-I-E-M-A-N. There's not a single picture of him except for what the New York Post found. This is ridiculous, man. Wild stuff. 30 years old in Israel right now is Dov Kleiman, and he keeps giving you all these news drops from the NFL. But hey.
And good for him.
I guess so. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. But he works for Bro Bible. I'm amazed. I'm amazed that we even found any of this detail about him. But let's go ahead and get to a break. And when we come back, we'll get you some NCAA tournament picks. We'll talk the NFL offseason with Alan Bell from CBS Sports.
WMFS-FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis, celebrating a legacy of sports as the flagship home of the Memphis Grizzlies and Tigers talk. Always live on the Odyssey app and on smart speakers. Say, play 92.9 ESPN.
Hi, guys. It's Mark with River Ridge Medical Clinic. Are you struggling with erectile dysfunction and sick of the pills? Well, we have a major medical advancement that has helped thousands of men. Our wave technology is backed by 60 clinical studies, including from Cambridge University. It's been shown to increase blood flow by repairing blood vessels. No pills and no side effects. If you're ready to put a stop to your ED, call us now, and not only will the assessment and blood flow ultrasound be free, but we'll also include something unique that produces powerful results in the bedroom. You're going to love that one, guys. Trust me. This unprecedented offer is worth $600, but it's free to those who call in the next 2 minutes. Call 901-672-2000. That's 901-672-LIFE-BACK. Call River Ridge Medical Clinic now to qualify. 901-672-2000.
There's no better time to hit the court for some exciting college basketball action. Download the BetMGM app today and bet during the wildest month of the year with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 years or older. Must be in Tennessee. Visit BetMGM.com for a full list of terms and conditions. For problem gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. That's 1-800-889-9789.
At Genesis Memphis Covington Pike, it's time to define luxury in a new way. At every turn, you'll find audacious design, state-of-the-art technology, and exceptional hospitality. We are dedicated to crafting the world's best vehicles, matched by an extraordinary sales-to-service experience for our owners. Prepare to be noticed in the 2023 Genesis G70. This sporty sedan is a force to be seen. We'd love you to explore the 2023 Genesis GV70 with a class-leading 300 horsepower engine or the available 375 horsepower twin-turbo V6 for terrains from concrete jungles to mountain roads. It's a new beginning for a new generation. Genesis Memphis Covington Pike, 1870 Covington Pike, or visit us online at memphisgenesis.com. Estimated horsepower based on premium fuel ratings. Use of regular fuel will result in reduced horsepower. See dealer for complete details. Dealer stock only.
What's up, everybody? Nick Costos here with the Sports Betting Minute, brought to you by BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. The big college basketball tournament resuming in a couple days. Let's look at odds to make the Final Four. Alabama, -135. Houston.